If everybody could just take their seat and we'll get going. So again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attending. It is with pleasure that I introduce the Honorable Carrie Lynn Finley, the Federal Minister of National Revenue. Minister Finley was first elected to the House of Commons in May 2011 as a Member of Parliament for Delta Richmond East. She served as Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Justice and for a time Associate Minister of National Defense. She was appointed Minister of National Revenue in July 2013. The CRA is one of the largest federal government departments. As minister, she oversees 51 tax service offices and tax centers across the country, 43,000 employees nationally, and a $4.3 billion budget. Before entering politics, Ms. Finley distinguished herself as a lawyer and as a community leader, and is recognized as one of the most knowledgeable lawyers regarding Aboriginal land and resource management issues. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming the Honorable Carrie Lynn Finley.
Well, thank you, Ted. Thank you very much. Ted, of course, is with West Fraser Timber, and I told him he employed my son-in-law for a while at the mill in 100 Mile, which made him a little nervous, but it was a good relationship. So I know a bit about the company and have nothing but good things to say about it. So thank you for introducing me this morning. I wanted to acknowledge a few colleagues here. The Member of Parliament for Prince George, Dick Harris, he's also the chair of the National Forest Caucus. So, Dick, thank you for being here with me today and facilitating my visit here in Prince George all day. I know also I have a provincial colleague here, Minister Thompson is here. I think Shirley Bond, Minister Bond, is joining us tomorrow as well, joining you tomorrow. And we have MLAs, Mike Morris and Harry Bain. I know we have a number of mayors in attendance and a number of First Nations chiefs. So for those distinguished guests and others that I may not have mentioned specifically, thank you for taking some time with me here this afternoon. It's certainly my pleasure to be back here in Prince George. I've been here several times. I was reminding people when my past life as a lawyer, I was president of the BC branch of the Canadian Bar Association and was part of the official opening ceremony for your courthouse here in Prince George, and spent many vacations with my folks here because I grew up in BC. I'm here really on behalf of my colleague, Minister Greg Rickford, who's Canada's Minister of Natural Resources. The Council of Forest Industries and its membership have a well-deserved reputation for leadership in modern forestry practices, for producing high-quality wood products, high-value goods, and for promoting environmental sustainability. It truly is an impressive record of achievement, and so it is a real honor for me to be here at this preeminent conference for British Columbia's forest sector, and I'm always glad to be home and not in Ottawa. Much sunnier here, much better weather. By any measure, Canada is a forest nation. We know that. We have almost 350 million hectares of forest, including 43% of the world's forests that are independently certified as being sustainably managed. Here in British Columbia alone, we have more third-party certified forests than any country. It's a remarkable accomplishment. And no one knows the significance and value of the forest sector, of course, better than those of you here. In 2013, Canada's forest sector accounted for close to $20 billion of our nation's nominal gross domestic product. And more than half of that was generated here in British Columbia, along with $2.4 billion in government revenues. Equally important, some 58,000 British Columbians earn their livelihoods directly from the province's forest sector. In short, BC's forest sector is helping to support sustainable communities along this province's coast and throughout its interior. And according to the Forest Products Association of Canada, another 60,000 Canadians could be recruited to work in the forest sector by the end of the decade. That's why events like this annual conference are so important. They give us a chance to take stock of where we have been and where we must go. Because, as significant as our achievements have been, we also know that this industry faces real challenges. The mountain pine beetle infestation has forced you to undertake what James Gorman calls the biggest timber salvage effort in the province's history. And the fallout from this infestation will likely affect our province's timber supply for decades. There are also issues with fiber supply and energy costs. We've seen consolidations throughout the sector, and international competition is at its fiercest. These realities offer sobering reminders that we must continue to work together to secure the forest industry's future prosperity. Our government is working with partners such as COFI to drive innovation, accelerate the forest industry's transformation, and ultimately to create and protect jobs in the forest sector. Thanks to our sustained actions over the past few years, this work is well underway. Indeed, our government, under the leadership of Prime Minister Stephen Harper, is supporting the forest sector in three key ways. First, by making significant investments in transformation. Second, by expanding markets for Canadian wood products. And third, by conducting world-class science to address issues that are critical to the health of our forests and that help to maintain and expand our access to markets around the world. Let me just briefly touch on each of these. Our government has pursued a comprehensive strategy for enhancing innovation and competitiveness in Canada's forest industry. Over the past few years, we have made unprecedented investments in the forest sector. In fact, since 2007, we have invested more than $1.8 billion, helping to bring innovative products and technologies into the marketplace, promoting transformation, and expanding markets here in British Columbia, across the country, as well as offshore. Our strategy is working. Over the past 5 years, exports from BC's forest sector have climbed approximately 60%. Indeed, forest industries are rebounding in a number of our communities, although, as you know, this resurgence has been uneven from place to place and region to region. So we can't let up now. That's why we've implemented a number of targeted measures. The Pulp and Paper Green Transformation Program stands out as a landmark in government-industry partnership. This unprecedented $1 billion investment by our government has helped companies across Canada improve the environmental performance of their mills. That includes 28 projects in 10 communities here in BC, with program investments totaling more than $400 million. Our shared commitment to environmental sustainability in the forest sector is having an effect. As you may have heard, a recent survey of your international customers found that Canada's forest products industry has the best environmental reputation in the world. We also launched the IFIT program, Investments in Forest Industry Transformation, to provide funding at key stages in the implementation of new technologies and to help move ideas from research and development into the marketplace. You've seen the success stories here, right here at home in British Columbia. We supported a Canadian first at the Nechaco Lumber Company, where electricity is being generated using biomass-derived waste heat. We've also been partnering with BC Passive House to commercialize its innovative prefabricated panels, and with StructureFam Products and its EcoStructure wall system. Those are just some of the highlights from IFIT, which is why I'm proud that our government renewed the program last year with a further $90.4 million investment. Of course, we are supporting transformation in many other ways as well. That includes a new investment of $20.6 million in FP Innovations, Canada's national industry-led forest research organization. This funding will support the development of leading-edge technologies in Canada's forest industry and help create jobs and growth in communities across the country. Among other things, FP Innovations has played a vital role in helping small and medium-sized wood manufacturers in everything from technology transfers to greater efficiencies in their manufacturing processes. And even as we're working with the forest sector to commercialize new products, we're also working to ensure that the industry can sell those products in markets around the world. Our Expanding Market Opportunities program, for example, has played a key role in increasing the value of wood product exports to China by more than 1,000% between 2007 and 2014. Today, about one quarter of BC softwood lumber is sold in China. That would have been really unthinkable just a decade ago. At the same time, Canadian forest products exports to South Korea jumped by more than 33% since 2012, and we are actively pursuing new opportunities in India. As you know, we've previously contributed over $1.95 million through the Expanding Market Opportunities Program to establish a market development office in Mumbai. I was just there with a trade mission that was at the same time as a BC trade mission last October, and the Prime Minister has great ambitions for building 100 smart cities in India, so we talked a lot about the innovations in your sector. And they, this market development office is in partnership with the province of British Columbia. I'm pleased that we will continue this support during this coming year with an additional $600,000 investment. This office is essential if we want to expand forest product trade in that country, and the local Canadian presence allows us to build relationships with Indian officials, regulators, and wood buyers. We are also pursuing sales in non-traditional markets. Earlier this year, we posted a full-time trade promotion officer in Abu Dhabi to boost Canadian wood exports in the Middle East. That's why it's my pleasure to announce on behalf of Minister Rickford that we have renewed the Expanding Market Opportunities Program with $8.9 million in funding this year. You can clap for that. And we certainly look forward to more positive outcomes. Here in North America, we continue to promote the use of wood in new structures through our Tall Wood Building Initiative. In collaboration with the Canadian Wood Council, this $5 million initiative is supporting the construction of up to 3 high-rise wood buildings as demonstration products across Canada. I think this is pretty exciting stuff. This initiative goes hand in hand with the release last summer of the technical guide for the design and construction of tall wood buildings in Canada. The first of its kind, the guide was developed under the leadership of FP Innovations with a significant investment from our government. And I've toured FP Innovations in UBC a couple of times now with successive ministers of natural resources to see just what's going on there and what we're doing. It's quite exciting. Add that to the recent changes in Canada's building codes, and we are seeing an increase in the use of wood in buildings of 6 stories and more. There's no better example than the Wood Innovation and Design Center right here in Prince George. Of course, implicit in all of these efforts in transforming the sector and expanding its markets is the need to engage First Nations communities. Our government recognizes that responsible resource development requires strong community engagement, especially with First Nations communities. That's why our government is so proud of our Aboriginal Forestry Initiative, which we introduced in 2011. It is focused on everything from business development and capacity building to community readiness and employment in the forest sector. To date, the AFI has supported 8 projects in British Columbia, including one with the Prince George Nechako Aboriginal Employment and Training Association, which covered 17 First Nations here in northern and central BC. Finally, I want to mention the promising science being led by Natural Resource Canada's Canadian Forest Service, which works with university, college, and industry researchers across Canada. For example, the CFS is studying the use of satellite-based remote sensing to gather information on forest health and inventory. This represents a potentially exciting new tool for resource management. Together with their partners in industry and academia, federal scientists are also studying the potential application of genomics to everything from disease control to breeding better trees. This work is important for enhancing market access and will demonstrate to the world that Canada is a leader in sustainable forest management. Let me conclude by saying that all of these initiatives demonstrate what is possible as we look to secure the future of our great forestry tradition, not just here in BC, but also right across the country. Today, your industry is transforming itself to meet the demands of a new global economy. It's time to look ahead, to plan for the future. And looking around the room, I know that we have the leadership, the talent, and the commitment and determination we need to succeed. On behalf of Minister Rickford and on behalf of our government, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. The best is yet to come for British Columbia and Canada and our forests, and I wish you all a very, very successful convention. Thank you, merci.
I've got to say that was very inspirational for me to listen to your speech. We have so much to be proud of in Canada, and thank you for talking about partnerships around industry transformation, market development, and most importantly, healthy forests. And we really thank you for that and the true partnership that our industry has, not only with our local governments and our provincial government, but with the government of Canada. I mean, our industry in Canada is really leading the way in the world. So on behalf of all our COFI members, I would like to personally thank Minister Findlay for the message that you've delivered to us today and for the continued support of the federal government. We have a small gift, and I can tell you I've already enjoyed it because I received it earlier today. Not that part.
Oh, that's great.